Well, hello to Scott and Martina.
Morning.
Hello. How are you today?
Oh, fine. And you?
Doing well. I'm actually looking for a reference environment that is both up and using Eureka permissions.
Oh.
If you happen to come across one.
Well, I thought they already have like the snapshots up and running. Aren't those working on Eureka? No, I think the snapshot 1 and 2 are not yet switched to Eureka, but there is one. Let me find the link. Just a second.
Okay.
Oh, it's called snapshots as well.
Oh, it's the Folio e-testing snapshot, isn't
Yes,
it? Okay.
this one.
Okay. I found myself sort of just moving around one of the snapshot environments, and it took me a minute to realize that there were no authorizations there. They had permission sets. So it's, I'm afraid it's a little early. I get a little slow to move when the sun doesn't come out. But the e-testing snapshot is definitely working.
Okay.
So is there anything in particular that brings you to the lab, or is it just sort of a place where you want to work together on something? Or work on something in company so that no one else can take your time.
I just came to keep current with what's happening with the SIG. Was there an agenda for today, or?
Oh no, I'm sorry. The second and fourth meetings of the month are for Eureka Labs.
Okay.
So that if you want to experiment with Eureka, if you have questions, we can kind of try to work them out together. So there is no official SIG meeting.
Gotcha. Well,
Sorry about that.
that's okay. We are in the process of migrating our main server to Sunflower on February 14th. We have a staging server on Eureka,
Oh.
and we've done testing with permission sets. I mean, sorry, authorization rules. We had originally had the recommended set that I think was supported some time ago, like lots of finely granulated permissions.
Right.
Those are confusing to our users, so we backed off to having a site coordinator permissions, kind of like the power user, and below that permissions, very broad rule sets like cataloger, circulation head, and lastly, a one for student workers. So six altogether. But it still was kind of hard for our users to adjust to because I thought site coordinator, which is the person who manages a particular tenant, was only for the manager, not for everyone. And that's understandable. But
Right.
also, a lot of them thought more permissions, more power, not realizing that a lot of the duplication is happening as permission sets. The cataloger and the acquisitions person have a lot of similar things going on. So we're looking at doing two very simple roles, or three actually, after this. Still maintaining a student worker one, actually for a shadow user for people who work outside their tenant, and then a power user that can do everything except what we can do. Basically, all the things it can do except getting into other tenants are breaking the system. And below that one that can do everything but not change settings. And if they wanted to fine-tune after that, they're welcome to. That'd be more simple to work on, basically like an administrator and a general worker one. And that worked better for our libraries. A lot of them were very small, only two or three people that wear a lot of hats. And so it might be one for the director to change the settings, and the other staff would have just the ones to do all the work they need to do. We've tested that, have not implemented it. When we upgrade, we're looking at probably just keeping the current status quo for a short time to make sure things are working okay, then create the sets and migrate them down. One of the good things in Eureka is we can have a centrally managed permission set and migrate down and control on our own before we had to ask EBSCO to push them down. And just kind of, test out a few libraries, make sure okay, then roll that out as an optional permission set if they want to use it. What is, I think, unavoidable but still an issue is how they have hash codes for most of the authorizations that they create during the migration. So they had named sets before, now it's a hash code. And that's something we'll have to work through over time.
Yes, that does get to be a bit much, doesn't it? I've spent more than one of these lab sessions sort of renaming things on a in a test environment, not realizing that it would be refreshed the next day and I would have my all of my good work will have been for nothing. One of the things that I've discovered when it comes to changing up permissions, and you can take this or leave it however you like, but it's been my experience that people are always worried about losing that last little thing that that they didn't say they needed, but suddenly they're lost without it. Sort of the I always called it the curse of the genie. You get what you ask for, but it's not what you want.
That's why we are migrating to this new scheme because a lot of times they had the permissions, had that one little feature they still wanted, they weren't too sure where it was at.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's sort of like, one of the a recommendation just from someone who's done, three system migrations and has managed, permissions for each one. But you want to kind of like you want to set an expectation that it's not gonna be bad, I realize that like, it's all very touchy feely, but the idea is that, it's really just a matter of, like kind of I hate to put the term managing expectations, but it's like things are going to be different, but it's not going to be bad. And nobody works in a library because they're dumb, so they can learn their way around it. That's always a good point to make when someone starts complaining about, a change that makes things difficult. That's been my experience. But also if people get, accustomed to that kind of stuff, and then it's sort of they get accustomed to what they have, and then they get mad when they lose something, which is, not always the happiest thing. But have you done the thing where like you establish like what each group needs to do so that you can make sure that you have the sort of the capabilities, part of it, sort of in a plain English sort of way.
That would have been a good way to do it, but with over 60 libraries and
Sure.
different expectations, it was more difficult. What we did do was kind of output what we could from Sunflower. One of our IT staff found how to take the authorization rules and turn into tables we could export. And I can share my screen and show what we did the first time.
Sure.
So let me see if I can get the right one here. So this is just breaking it down into what these are. We have OpenRS, which is a consortial catalog, that's the top there. And then, of course, the various applications. And this would be in a guide intended for people who want to make their own permissions later. So we just put everything here that's showing up. And we did find that there was a data sets that are really what you need to look at, while the permission, the data below it, is automatically assigned. And so we have here about the role structure, capability sets, I'm sorry. And so those are what we assign. The capabilities below are automatically assigned. It does make that a bit easier, but this is outputs what's there. So for the capability set for acquisitions, the app, this is everything they have there. And they could select whether to turn something on or off if they want to kind of map it out. This would be much further down the road after people are more familiar with it and they want to fine-tune, because there's a, I think, a limit between being helpful and, lots of information and too much. And some of these you want to always have. They're like the query manager, the bulk edit, others, OAI, PMH, and Edge, maybe not. DCB, of course, is specifically for us. And this was like a first start draft there, just to lay out what all the options are and what they're showing by default for each of the applications. Concerns will be that, how will this look at Umbrella Leaf or Trillium? Will they completely revise and will it be worthwhile to completely update this with a new set? And these here about do not use and primary use, these are recommendations. These here, what consortium manager will be for us because we're an ECS environment. Acquisitions, bulk edit, people want to use. Edge is the API, and some libraries know would want to use that. There's been some confusion about the platform minimal, platform complete, where that's intended for the minimal to be for like a system user, like a script logs in or an API logs in. But it seems like there's a lot of features there that users use anyways. So let me stop sharing this screen. Let me pull up the word doing for the permission sets has a starting point. Let me go find that. Give me just a moment. And bear with me, I had several drafts of documents I'd gone through, and okay, I think this is the one I'm looking for here. Let me bring that in. So this isn't a document I consider finished. It was where as far as we got with it until we had a time for our upgrade. Just to show that we have the admin user who can do almost everything. And of course, obviously a typo at the last second. The standard user who can do everything that the super user can do, but can't change passwords. That was a concern for our libraries and settings. The circulation worker, because it is the most common basic worker, and the shadow user for ECS. And in ECS, every time you create a user, it's tied to your tenant. But if you want to have, do you be able to work with centrally shared records, you have an affiliation with the central tenant. The affiliation makes a temporary, makes a shadow user that is basically a copy of your account that has no permissions. We assign minimal permissions to basically let them update inventory records. Some of this is repeating what I was just showing, but what we do is it took the EBSCO admin role, and then we would just, these are notes actually for us when we try to make them in the new Sunflower tuning because they can't copy from our staging server or the dry run into the complete tenant. It'd be nice if we could. So we're saying, here's what we do to make this user, here's what we make the standard user. And the shadow one, and just a worksheet we have just to double check things when we're ready to go, which means the admin is the one we use. This would be the one for our libraries as their power user. And from the power user, we make the more limited standard user. And the standard user is taking away a lot of abilities to change settings and permissions. The Mobius admin is taking away the ability to basically break the system or get into the consortials area and start going into other tenants. That way there's privacy preserved. And we're not thinking people do it intentionally, but they might do it trying to figure something out and just to keep everyone kind of working in their own tenant. So that's kind of where that is. Like I said, this is paused until a little bit after the upgrade. So we'll roll this out and test it. And then see how the libraries like it. And they're still free to make their own permission sets or authorizations. I'm sorry. That's kind of where it is right now. One thing that is a little confusing is that the authorizations are there. I think it's the roles are the ones that may not be available until Umbrella Leaf. That's the ones where they can limit what time periods the roles are active. So if you're a student worker, you would say they can only do this during the time that they're at work. You can set a schedule on, but right now those just have hashes with nothing in them. So it's like a feature that's empty. And I don't know what the capabilities it has, or how detailed it would be. Most I know that's supposed to at least allow limiting the time that a role can be used. And it would be handy because, Folio is only accessed through a web browser, so you make an access anywhere. And it would help if you want to make sure that a student worker or some other worker only is working on the clock on their time. Okay. So that's kind of an overview of where we are there. And as you see, that's very complex. And the trouble is complexity means it's a lot to have to relearn every time you look at it again after a while. So we're successful rolling this out. The question would be how it changes with the succeeding Folio versions. And how much effort we want to put into keeping it, keeping extensive documentation on it. I imagine some of our libraries would, a lot would just be happy with the permission set that works.
I'm kind of hoping that Eureka permissions will not break with each new sort of version. That would be kind of counterintuitive.
It would. Well, I know they're doing a script to migrate from permissions to roles, but once they're on roles, I'm assuming it's just an update and we just have to like go in and check a button to update for a new role or a new authorization for that role. So therefore, if there's a new feature that people want to see, if we manage it centrally, we just check the button, migrate down, and we're good. I'm hoping that's the case, and that this type of migration here with the hash codes is a one-time thing.
Yes. It would be difficult otherwise.
It would.
But and I agree that most of the trouble that comes from from permissions, and I've talked about it before. I have the three basic categories, malice, mischief, and whoopsie. And that last one is by far the greatest amount of trouble. It's why I feel like I'm playing, goalie on a pool table sometimes. But yeah, so it's like, pardon me. So it's like we I mean, I'm hoping that since other permissions, other upgrades have not resulted in breaking permissions. Typically what happens is that things are either added or they're deprecated or something is sort of, a permission is broken out to a more granular set. And so, the release notes will tell you, these things are coming, and since this big one is being deprecated, here are these four littler ones or whatever that, that are taking their place. So it's sort of like, you get a little bit of lead time when the release notes come out. But it is a little time.
Yeah, concerns I have is the whoopsie seems like what we have to worry about most. Somebody, you can't expect a user to understand in great detail every time a permission sets up, right? Because it's not their primary role. Their primary role would be cataloging acquisitions of circ work. Malice and mischief are not very likely. I would see possibly more with a student worker maybe trying to override fines, check books out for a friend or something like that. And that would still be very rare. But the potential of just having something break because the system is so complex, they're trying to understand, they're trying to put in things and fully understand is a concern. With our libraries adding in lots of permission sets, we were concerned it might be causing problems that would be hard to define, because it loops through and finds where is the right permission in the set. And you've got multiple sets there, it's trying to find which set to use. It didn't really seem to be too much of an issue right now, but I could see it happening later. That is the advantage here is that if you have just like one role and you just adjust the role as needed, that would work better for people. I think that was part of the intent of this was to have just a role someone could use and they can adjust up and down as they need to for what's allowed with it. I'm trying to think what else would be a benefit. It is a very fine detailed, and I think if it was a we had a very large, like a multi-campus, multi-tiered system that was using it, this would be a great benefit to them because they could tear it down exactly where they need to. But for the smaller libraries, the ones that have just one branch, they only have like maybe three professionals working there. It's more useful to just have they're kind of like over-provisioned having the extra authorizations and roles they may not need to use, but if they do have, like you said, that one missing thing, it's already there for them.
The and in that case, the real thing is, if the person involved kind of like, if the person who is wearing many hats, understands at least, what things mean, like if they need to do a thing, they know where to go and that kind of thing. And that definitely sort of like that moves into kind of like the possibility for whoopsie territory, because the best way for them to figure out how all this works is to try it. But at the same time, maybe you want to be careful about where or how.
Well, I think we're edging towards a kind of a trust situation because we are like our central support for our libraries. And so we have some librarians who are very skilled, very adept, and they definitely want those capabilities. Others, it seems like they are pretty good saying, I don't know how to do this. Can you please show me how? And so the power is there, but they're not going to use it until they confirm it's the right thing to do.
So basically, you guys are in a really good spot.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
That's, I mean, it sounds like you guys have really prepared for what's coming, which, if I understand correctly, you guys have like, you have like 60 libraries, right? And
Yeah, I
so,
think.
you know, being having your having things laid out now, you know, having sort of your structure laid out now, it's going to make things a whole lot easier for you when they all have to migrate. They're not, are they all migrating at once?
Yeah, we're an ECS environment, so it's
Wow.
going to be one migration all at once. And so we're just preparing for it and make sure everything's ready to go. We're still on ramp since right now.
Oh, good. Well, I think you've done an excellent prep job. And if you wouldn't mind, you know, I don't, when are you coming up on Sunflower?
We're looking at the middle of February, February 14th to 15th. So,
Okay.
and our we decided to go ahead and just migrate as it is with the current permissions being migrated over. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And
Right,
once the
right.
system's working and things are working okay, then we would set the new permission sets, migrate them down, and offer them to libraries to use. And if they take them up, that's great. If they want to continue to manage their own, that's fine. But that way, if they find it too daunting to try and do permission sets, they got these ones they can use from us.
Okay. That sounds nice. The I don't know if your schedule would permit, but I would love for you to kind of like present this to one of our regular meetings, just to kind of like to see someone who is like in the process and to see what your strategy has been. Because I think a lot of people would get a lot of value out of that. But I know that, you know, it's a month away from coming up. I don't know if you have the time to do that or not.
I could. I need to check and make sure about, make sure not presenting anything that might be, patron information, anything like that. But I can check on it and see what I could offer, and I could probably reply on the SIG. On Slack
Okay.
and let you know what could do.
Yeah, that would be wonderful because you know, I've seen a lot of people kind of with a lot of questions. But seeing like seeing, you know, an institution working through the actual sort of nitty-gritty, I think is I think would be really helpful. And I think a lot of people would be interested in that. So,
Sure.
and
Well,
you know, better before you go up because afterwards you're probably going to be really busy.
yeah, I think we will be because we will have a lot of software upgrades and OpenRS that are dependent upon Sunflower. So we'll be working through
Of
those at the
course.
same time. So it will be a busy time.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you. We'll I'll send you a message in Slack to see what your availability might be like. And you know,
Sure.
I don't want to promise something to the group that I'm not going to deliver. And I'm not promising anything on someone else's behalf.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. And I'll try and reply as quickly as I could what we could offer and what we could do for you. Okay.
That would be great. Hey, Martina.
Hi.
Hi. So what brought you to the lab today?
Curiosity.
Okay.
But first of all, thank you so much, Scott, for presenting today. So it was very helpful. So thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Scott.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm here to look or work on roads or on Eureka. So we are still on Ramsons, and I need to prepare the shift from the permission sets to the roads for our library. So that will
Right.
be one of my tasks in this year. So.
Yes. Yeah, no, we're going to be upgrading to, I believe, Sunflower. But we're going to keep Okapi permissions. And then we'll do a second upgrade to move to Eureka permissions at a time when, let's just say, the crunch of the academic year is not as strong. We don't have quite so much on our plates, so that people can familiarize themselves with the new permissions without a sudden loss being a crisis. So that's what we're doing. And I'm still trying to, for my part, I'm still trying to kind of bring this up to people, but again, we're all very busy, and a lot of people see permissions as sort of this hand waving thing, let them do what they need to do. So it's been kind of, for me, it's been kind of interesting getting traction on how to get buy-in from the staff here. Which is, exciting. So, another reason why I loved seeing Scott's spreadsheets is so that I can maybe prep something like that myself for my staff. So yeah, if Scott, you have a if you can do a presentation, I am so down for
Sure. Let me go ahead and
it.
copy the links I've done into the chat with provision.
Okay.
These are all like works in progress. And so there's the first one. And let me go to the second one. Okay, there you go.
Yes. Right. Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm glad to help.
Yes, you came just to sit in, and yet you turned out to be the guy.
Well, one of the big advantages was our IT staff had a script I could use in the web browser to let me output all the options as tables. That's how I was able to generate these.
Wow.
Otherwise, it
Yeah.
would have been hours and hours of manually transcribing them.
Oh, no. Thank you, but no.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I was kind of hoping that the reference environments themselves would allow me to would allow me to output all of this, but I guess I can't. That's too bad. Output the data to a table, but
I
so.
wish. Yeah, I wish they could do that. There was a way we were out able to output the Okapi permissions. I have to go back and remember how we did it, which showed non-permissions, but the sub-permissions. And that was kind of helpful if you had somebody try to make a custom set under Okapi. They saw a weird error saying, I need this one thing. Where is that? And
Yes.
you wouldn't actually see it. It would be a sub-permission of one of the upstanding permission sets. And I have to go back and remember how we did that. I think we did it by an API output, if I remember right.
Yeah, I had we were I was trying to get us all set up in Clover and Bellis, and things were not entirely clear through the UI, So I just used a Python script to download all of the permissions, which included sub permissions with, that were attached to specific permissions. And so I'm still trying to get my head away from viewing permissions as individual API calls. But, once I downloaded that, it was a JSON file and I could just sort of, I could just look through the whole thing.
Let me try and see what we did for those originally for a copy here. Yeah, I think it was we did it with a API call. We had a display name, the permission name, the sub permission, which one's the child of, and this was something that was 5,000 lines long, so it would be more like, no, 6,000 lines long. It'd be more like, rather than you use this as a guide, you just, click copy paste and look for something. They try for what it's needed for, because there was a lot of material there. But if you had an error that was for one of the sub permissions, that'd tell you where it was at. And hopefully with this, we won't need anything like that because everything is really visible right there.
Instead of having to read the API calls, it's just presented as a table, which, I do like that. I like that a lot. And I'm glad that that we have that that option.
It is. I think eventually this will be seen as an improvement once we get past the having to do the migration changes for the hash names and people develop the idea that they need just one role as opposed to multiple. You actually could do multiple if, for instance, you want to have like one specific role for like maybe the lists, and you could add that to people as needed. But for the most part, if you're using a typical user in the system, you'll want to have the permission, the roles, the applications they want to use. It was also strange to me that they had the platform complete as most of everything, but acquisitions is a separate app. And I wonder if it was like developed differently or a different time is why it's done that way.
I think it was developed later. So platform complete was like, historically it was like, the thing with everything in it at that point. And then the acquisition stuff started getting more fleshed out in subsequent releases, and it was not, it was not rolled into platform complete.
Okay, I can understand that.
It's sort of, it's one of those historical reasons that, it makes sense and it doesn't, both.
I know, but it's good. At least it's more clear this way in the end. I think. And this is probably the more far-reaching thing. A future evolution might be if they can analyze what people are really doing most of the time, like an acquisitions worker, excuse me, I'm sorry, what are they actually using all the time? And therefore tailor pre-canned, pre-developed roles for that. So if they realize that acquisitions workers almost always use these roles, these features, and over-provision a little bit just to kind of like, capture the little things I'm only use once or twice. That'd be more helpful to say for an acquisitions worker, here's what you need. But so the kind of catch 22, that's fine if you have one specifically in that role. But again, if you have a smaller library, multiple hats, we're back to the same issue, needing multiple abilities there for them to do things.
I'd initially worked with like, using permission sets as like building blocks. This thing allowed you to, check out and check in items and then, check the circ log, and these were put up in a little like permission set. And then when it came to like being able to act on fees and fines, then that would be a different set that you could also add to a person. And sort of you could either view the fees and fines or you could act on them. And you could and then it's sort of like bring them all together. The problem was, that they're a copy and you can just endlessly nest them. And that turns into an enormous rabbit hole.
It does. And a lot of it, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go on ahead.
A lot of this would, again, need to be tailored to the library. Some libraries have very open policies, some don't. Some define what they mean as like a cataloger in a specific role doing only certain things. Others define the catalogers doing almost everything, including some circ work, some acquisitions work as they need to, because, for instance, they may take the book they just cataloged, update the loan rules to accommodate the new material, and then place on the whole sh place it onto the new bookshelf.
Exactly. Some people it'll be soup to nuts, and for other people it's just going to be specific parts of the process. And I was just attending a couple of meetings about item status and how people use circulation in order to catalog books because it requires a certain item status, which can only be accessed through circulation actions. And, being able to sort of lock down some of that would definitely be helpful. Because now everybody has to, everybody who does cataloging has to be able to do at least some circulation.
And it seems a institutional preference if they don't want people in cataloging doing circulation. And there could be various reasons for that, feeling that they may understand what the circ staff do, or that the circ staff want to control their functions. And sometimes it's just whatever the role they want to find for that person that would work best for the institution. And it's another roundabout way of saying it's probably customizing to the particular setting. It would be helpful the way there was a way to make this more simple, that people could say, give me a circulation supervisor, do all the circ functions, and do a like checkbox. I want them to be able to do these various functions that are very, very readily defined and understandable, and just creates a role from that. So when I go through and check these individual roles and names, you have like a form you go through and saying, here's a person I want to work in the library, and here's the very well-defined functions they do, and I check them off, and that creates a role for them. That could be a future development, I think.
That would be pretty nifty. I will admit, I think that's great. Because often now, again, there's a lot of hand waving, like apparently I do magic when I, grant all the permissions. And I'm like, well, I'm not granting all of the permissions. Maybe you could tell me what you want them to do, and I can give the appropriate permissions.
And if we had, and again, it comes down to how particular institutions are and what they define, but if they had a checklist or a worksheet, and the abilities were very easily readable and definable, and you just go through and check off what you want them to do, that might be a good development in the future. I know that we came from a Sierra system. I know there's a similar issue with permissions. There are only about maybe 400 of them, but people were just adding them as they felt and not really having a cohesive approach to it. And also is per each user, so it wasn't like a permission set. So one user could have a very different setup than the next person next to them.
Yeah, but it would be a really interesting exercise for sort of setup.
Well, that's kind of what I had that I was willing to that I could go over or present today. Are there other things we'd like to look at, or
What do you think, Martina?
Well, no question from my side today, so, but we could look at some roles or some permissions in the e-testing environment.
Sure. Why don't do you have one in mind specifically or?
No.
Okay, well let's just go and let's go there and see like what's here. Now this I'm looking at the role here. Can you see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm looking at the role called OA Observer. Not entirely what OA means, but that's okay. And these are the capabilities. So it clearly there is no need for this person to edit or create or delete or manage. Well, now they're managing a couple of things. But so what kind of as a jumping off point, Martina, what kind of what kind of role do you think you'd like to maybe start with? You know, because we
I
have
would
all
be,
these, we can change these. They'll be overwritten tomorrow.
yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Well, I'm interested in circulation,
Okay. So let's
but we don't have to look at circulation, just whatever is fine
sure. Well,
with
let's
you, so.
what I'm going to do is I'm going to take circulation staff and I'm going to duplicate it. And I'm going to call this circulation staff limited. So that we can say, for instance, you want them to be able to do something, but maybe not a lot. Oh, I don't rename it. That's okay. But here are the capability sets, minimal. Okay, so you can use the tags, you can view them, manage them. You can create, delete, edit, and view notes. So I'm going to imagine a world where someone in a library needs to, oh goodness, I can't change it. That's pretty interesting. Okay.
Can we try? Oh, sorry. Can we
Sorry.
try something a little different? Can we close this one?
Sure.
And let's try to make an all new one and see what that
Okay.
lets us do.
Good idea.
Okay. And we can just call it test be erased, erased tomorrow. And so we first start selecting the application. And we want to do both platform minimal, because it seems that features there are used, and platform complete. For a circ person, we would probably not be doing much of the others. And I do see some apps here we don't see on our server. That's interesting. Our tech is there. The reading room came from the Swedish libraries. InReach is actually for Sierra InReach. So this, I think, is the complete set of everything. But I
Right.
think this would be good to start. Let's scroll to the top there.
Okay, just these two.
Well, let's add in the query manager. So FQM, yeah,
Yes.
that's the one for
Move
lists
that here for a
there. So
second. Right. There we are.
okay, and now save and close. So you will have, once it finishes, the three applications with all their capability sets.
Oh,
And
wow.
then you'll have the settings below update with it. So if you were to say, for instance, check everything and save you. And it should populate below. Let's scroll down.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have, let's scroll back up. I'm remembering this now. Okay, right here, you have data, settings, and procedure. Data is ability to do things overall. settings are things you can change or edit as needed. This is where, again, if somebody could come in and change what needs to be done there. For instance, what they're allowed to do, what the system is able to do. And below is procedure, which is executing a process. So you see there, it's like applying your rules, checking in, so on. So this top set here are the three things, which is data and procedure are the capability sets. And you know, if you scroll down further, the capabilities are auto-populating there based upon what's needed. You can add more if you need to, but it's basically saying, I know what needs to be added for these. So if we scroll back up again, I'm sorry to keep going up and
That's
down.
okay. That's all right.
So here's where you could check and paste what you'd like the person to do. So we select everything for view. That's least harmful. But for instance, you want them to do a query, you would check manage. And if they want to do an audit, I'm not sure what that is, so I'll probably leave that out. Batch print entries, I probably add that too. The calendars would definitely be a circ person. A knows there is not saying manage, so it's edit, create, delete. I check all three. And then renewing a loan, of course, you manage that. Circulation storage, I believe, is where you can view something within circulation. I'm not sure about copycat. This is, again, where some of the permissions are hard to understand. Courses are storage, I think, is accessing an inventory. So if you want to make this
Well, course
person,
reserves is its own app. And so course reserve storage is going to be the place where the sort of it's weird, but sort of the source of truth for course reserves is where they pull the inventory record and the circulation record and the course record all together. So,
So if you want to do this very quickly for somebody who's a power user, is you could just select at the top there, view, edit, create, delete, manage, all of that. That basically populates everything. And so it auto-populates it. So for the data, they can do all the power functions they need to. Below is for the settings. If they're not a manager and you don't want them to really manage or change settings, you could just have them view it or leave that out. Sometimes it's better to view this to know what's there. And procedural would probably be having them execute. For the most part, they want to do the work there. Now, that's for the three at the top, which is the capability sets. For the capabilities, if you scroll down, I don't think you can check any of these. You can try and see, but I think those are entirely managed by the sets. Okay, so to make this person, okay, so you can tweak it a little bit if you need to. The gray ones are auto-populated. The other ones would be if you want to add something in that you think they really need, like a sub-permission.
And what I think that's sort of part of the since we made the we set the capability sets up top, and this auto-populates, it means that we can't undo that here. We'd have to go up
Correct.
to the sets to do that.
And if you go and save and close this, and hopefully we'll save. Scroll to the top and see what kind of message is giving.
No message yet.
May not be letting you save it, but that's kind of the general process for, oh, there
Nope,
we
it
go.
just took a
Now,
minute.
okay. So you can tweak these later as needed, but the capability sets is like the super permissions, the groups of permissions, and the capability is the ones below. You see there's 382 capability sets, 1620 capabilities, those are sub permissions. From here, For this type of library, you can assign users as needed. So if you're happy with how this should work and you think it's good, you can go and assign and unassign here to add a
Right.
user to it. But if you find later there's something you want to change, for instance, you want to take away a capability or you want to modify them in some way, you could change it here and it affects all of them.
Okay, yeah. So it's and if there's, if there's something else that I want to assign to this person, can I assign another role or do I?
Yeah.
Okay. So they can
Yeah.
have more than one role.
So let's go and click on his name.
Okay.
And then look at user roles. Looks like he already has two there.
Already have two. Yeah.
So what you could do is edit like it was with the regular permissions. This would be
Mm-hmm.
helpful for a library that decides I want to have permissions specifically for certain functions. We
Right.
get back the same thing is that you would have roles that have a lot of repetition within them. But it might
Yeah.
be useful if you're signing by application. I don't know if that creates problems, but you could add in, say, that one there is another one to add. And so it adds that in too.
Right. And it's just like permission sets. Okay. Yes, no, I do this and I can't wait to get my fingernails in on our permission sets
Sure.
at UFC.
It can be kind of fun if you're looking at it's like intellectual exercise
Right.
and just trying to find which ones to assign.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for a meeting that I thought would not have a whole lot of interest, this has been a really great meeting. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Yes, we'll be in touch over Slack, Scott. Martina, I hope this helped. Or if this is just more of the same that you've already seen, I don't know.
No, it was very helpful today. So
Oh,
thank you,
good.
Scott. Thanks, Mara.
Good.
So
Yes.
very
You're
helpful.
welcome.
Yes. All right. Thank you both.
Okay, have a good day.
Okay.
You
Bye.
too. Bye.
Bye-bye.